Street stocks, which had been negative, are now in positive territory. The Dow is up 27 points. The Nasdaq ahead 19, and the S&P trading 6 points higher. More details at srnnews.com.
Conservative Theological University has provided biblical theological education for God's pastors, evangelists, missionaries, and Christian educators since 1982. CTU would be delighted to assist you in your Bible studies. Call 1-800-GO-BIBLE today. The CTU campus is located at 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, 1 mile south of I-295. Leave your contact info today at 1-800-GO-BIBLE.
Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day with a goal of motivating and informing listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on 3 regional stations in Florida and Georgia. Dr. Youngblood's expository preaching is heard on 2 stations in Ohio and Virginia, as well as Brunswick, Georgia, St. Augustine, and Jacksonville, Florida. There's now a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities, and we sincerely need your help to accomplish this mission. Your support in any amount is needed to take this next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale. Please go to fcbcatjax.com and click the donation button, or send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258. Attention Radio.
Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now, let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. This is Mike Hill sitting in for Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood was had to take care of some items today, and I was honored that I was asked to host a show for him today. So for this next half hour, I will be your host as we talk about a number of issues and how we as Christians should respond to those issues, how we should react. If you would like to join the show, you may call in at 904-831-0917. That's 904-831-0917. Just before the break, we were talking about the war going on between Israel and Hamas, and Israel is actually winning that war, ladies and gentlemen, and they should be, and thank goodness that they are. And that's another reason why we see so many on the left, we see so many Democrats who are upset about what is going on, because Israel is winning. And that's why we are seeing these protests that are happening in these Muslim enclaves here in the United States. And they are demanding that Biden stop funding Israel. They are demanding that if you don't, we will not vote for you. And in fact, a lot of them did not during the primary. So Biden, who is as weak-spined as any politician could be, instead of doing the right thing, is now wanting Israel to send representation to discuss how they are going to proceed with this war and to get U.S. approval before they do so. Well, Netanyahu, to his credit, says, no, we are going to rid Israel of Hamas. We're going to rid Israel of this Palestinian stain, which has been affecting them for decades now, and they are tired of it, especially after the atrocity that was committed when they came across the border in Israel, took over 1,200 hostages, and murdered, raped, and burned people. It was horrific what they did, and it was a line that Netanyahu says, no, we are going to get rid of this. Well, we have here Democrats in America, including those in social media, who are taking the side of Hamas and these Palestinian terrorists. And we see it in one form of how it's being reported. So the Associated Press religiously keeps pace with Hamas's daily tallies, never questioning the figure's veracity and often signaling their rock-solid credibility. The news agency, that's the Associated Press, notably lags far behind in reporting Israeli military data for the number of Hamas members it has killed. Thus, twice since the war started, the Associated Press only refreshed its outdated reporting on Israel military figures for Hamas fatalities after CAMRA is a news organization here in the U.S., contacted the agency, that's the Associated Press, pointing out its numbers were outdated and thus underreported. Another time, the Associated Press independently updated, albeit with a two-week delay from when the information first became available. Here's just an example. On January 15th, two Associated Press stories underreported the number of terrorists Israel has said it killed in Gaza since October 7th as roughly 8,000 militants. Even though Hamas is saying 24,000 civilians have been killed since that time. And that's the number that the Associated Press will report. Instead of Israel saying, no, the militants is somewhere closer to 8,000. So as you see, ladies and gentlemen, that the Biden administration, the left, Democrats, are against Israel, who are justified in defending themselves and fighting this war. You know, I asked myself the question, where the Biden administration has demanded that Israel send a delegation to the U.S. and account for how you're going to proceed in Rafah to get rid of Hamas in that area, who are now holed up in that area with more than a million Palestinians hiding behind women and children because they are cowards. And the Biden administration is demanding that Israel come and give an accounting of how you're going to do that. And the reason the U.S. can even make such a statement is because of the amount of funding that they are giving to Israel to fight this war. And Israel needs the funding to fight this war. And the Biden administration knows that, even though it is paltry in relation to the amount of money this administration wants to give to Ukraine so that Ukraine can fight the Russians. And it's amazing when their thought process behind this. The reason they want to stop Russia from attacking Ukraine ostensibly is because they say that eventually Russia will try to take over more land, more countries, as the former Soviet Union, USSR was. They want to get back to that, and so they're going to take it all, and we have to be firm and stop them now. Well, you know, ladies and gentlemen, that was the same reason why they fought, or the reason why they said they fought in Vietnam, was to stop the spread of communism, to stop the North Vietnamese and communism from taking over South Vietnam and turning the country communist, and they won't stop there. They'll just go to other countries, Cambodia, Laos, Thailand, and so forth, and there'll be a ring of communist countries in those areas. That was their justification. Well, that didn't pan out. And what we're seeing is that instead, even in Vietnam, even though it's communist, they have to open up their markets to capitalism, because communism cannot survive on its own. It's been proven that it cannot survive on its own. That's why the USSR collapsed, because its economy could not sustain the communist system, that control of people. The same reason why the Communist Chinese Party is eventually going to collapse, because communism does not work. It simply does not. Look at Cuba. It doesn't work. Look at Venezuela. It does not work. That you need free market capitalism for an economy to exist. And so we have this thought process that it's okay for us to fund Ukraine to stop the Russians from spreading, but it's not okay to fund Israel to stop terrorism from spreading. It's hypocritical, and Netanyahu and Israel should continue full force what they are doing to end this terrorist threat. Now, this is something we mentioned at the top of the show, and I'd like to get your thoughts on this. Call in at 904-831-0917. This is from Daybreak Insider, and it starts off with Biden breaks the record for the number of U.S. embassy evacuated by a sitting president. This comes from the Daily Signal. As a cannibalistic gang war rages through Haiti, President Joe Biden last week dispatched a Marine Corps special unit to protect the evacuation of non-emergency personnel, as well as fellow Marines from the U.S. Embassy in the nation's capital, Port-au-Prince. With that evacuation of the embassy in Haiti, the Biden administration has presided over more evacuations of U.S. embassies, a total of 11. So they've presided over more evacuations of U.S. embassies than any other presidential administration in U.S. history. That shows the ineptitude, the incompetence that we have of this installed regime in the Biden administration. Ladies and gentlemen, what we are seeing in full force is what happens when the Democrats are in charge. Biden stole the election, was installed. We all know that. There's plenty of evidence of that. It's not just my opinion. We have evidence and facts backing that up, even though that is my strong opinion, that the election was stolen. The Democrats were installed, and we see the mess that we are in the entire United States because of having Democrats in charge. There's inflation. There are wars raging everywhere. Unemployment. We're seeing the mass invasion coming across our southern and northern borders right now. The economy, if not for the sheer will of people and the economic system that we have, we would be in shambles right now. We'd be in trouble. And we're seeing whenever Democrats are in charge, things go horribly. And we're seeing it right now, not only in the United States, but in Democrat-controlled states such as California and Illinois, New York, New Jersey, Maryland. And people are leaving and going to the red states, the Republican conservative states, such as Texas and Alabama, Georgia, Florida. They're coming to the south and to the southeast, where it is conservative, where it is red. South Carolina, we're seeing people leaving these blue states, coming to the red states because they are free. And when people are free, that is when they prosper. So here's the Biden administration has presided over more evacuations of U.S. embassies, 11, more than any other presidential administration in U.S. history. Since Biden took office in January 2021, his State Department has partially or fully evacuated 11 U.S. embassies via what are known as authorized or ordered departure directives. Who was number two? Who is number two? Biden is number one, more than any other in history. 11 embassies evacuated. Guess who is number two? That's right, you guessed it. Barack Obama presided over the second most embassies evacuations of any administration, with a total of 8 over 2 terms. So over 8 years, he closed 8 embassies. Biden, since 2021, so just over 3 years, has been forced to close 11. So again, Barack Obama, Democrat in charge, terrible situation we were in. We had President Trump come in, turn things around. He was making America great again. Economy booming. It was amazing. The gas was down to $1 a gallon. In some places, it was less than a dollar. I witnessed that firsthand. I'm in the Pensacola area, and we're very close to Alabama border. Gas in Alabama was 98 cents, 98, 99 cents when Trump was in office. Now we're back up to 350 or whatever a gallon, and it's because of the ineptitude of what we are seeing. The Biden administration has had this war on what they call fossil fuels, which, by the way, ladies and gentlemen, there's no such thing as a fossil fuel. That is a term that has been made up by those on the left, by Democrats, by the environmental extremists. Oil does not come from fossils. Oil is a naturally occurring substance here on Earth, just like gold, gas, coal. All of those are naturally occurring substances that God put here on Earth. It didn't come from fossils. It didn't come from billions of years of plant life and animal life being squished together under high pressure, and all of a sudden it turns into oil. It doesn't even make sense. They're saying, well, it's carbon-based, and so are plants and animals. So what? That's how God made it. It doesn't mean that it was squished into oil. No. So don't call it a fossil fuel. Call it oil. That's what it is. Natural gas. That's what it is. Coal. That's what it is. Gold. That's what it is. It's not some fossil fuel. So at any rate, because of Biden deciding that he wants to have this war on natural gas, on oil, it has, and he has shut it down in the U.S. on federal property, even though we are producing more than we did when he came into office. Why? Because it's on state-owned land or on private property. It would be even more if we opened it up, like the pipeline that was open. If we open it up in Alaska, where it has been proven that oil can be brought to market safely, it can be brought to market environmentally clean, and we can use it as we are supposed to. So Biden closes these embassies. Barack Obama was the second most. In eight years, he closed 8 embassies. Biden has closed 11 in 3 years. It's a shame. Now, here's a Republican congressman who evacuates 13 Americans from Haiti because of the debacle that is going on in Haiti right now. It's horrible what's going on there. And here is Representative Corey Mills, a Republican from Florida, announced Monday that he successfully evacuated another group of Americans stranded in Haiti which has descended into violent anarchy. In a statement on X, Mills said he and his team rescued 13 Americans, a move that comes after he evacuated 10 Americans last week who worked at an orphanage in the capital of Port-au-Prince, Haiti. So here is a congressman doing the job that the Biden administration is unable to do because they are incapable, they are inept, it's pitiful what they are doing. So this congressman took it on himself to evacuate these Americans. There are still Americans in Afghanistan that were abandoned by the Biden administration when they left Afghanistan in such a hasty manner, in an inept manner, that people died, left behind billions of dollars of military equipment and installations that the Chinese are using now. The terrorists, the Afghanistan terrorists, are using now. And because Biden and his Department of Defense, I'm not talking about the young men and women who serve in our military. I'm talking about the leadership in the Department of Defense and in the State Department who are inept. And a lot of them came from, guess where, the Barack Obama administration. They didn't know what they were doing then, and they don't know what they're doing now. And they left Americans behind in Afghanistan who are still there, still trapped there. And they left Americans behind in Haiti. So this Representative Corey Mills took it on himself to go and rescue them. Kudos to Representative Corey Mills. Switching topics just a little bit. The number of chemical abortions skyrocketed in the last few years. The number of yearly abortions in the United States rose by 10% between 2020 and 2023. By the way, it was in 2020 that Roe v. Wade was overturned and said it is no longer a federal law that you can murder a baby in the womb. We're going to turn it over to the states where it should be anyway and let the states decide. So since then, the number of abortions has gone up, not gone down. And you saw how the Democrats went berserk when they first, that decision was made by the Supreme Court, with the conservative wing of the Supreme Court voting to abolish Roe v. Wade and the Democrats on the Supreme Court wanting to keep it. But it was overturned, and what has happened that abortions have actually increased since then. Now, while medication abortions became more common than ever, according to a report published Tuesday by a research and advocacy group that favors abortion rights, the Guttmacher Institute found that there were more than 1 million U.S. abortions last year. Ladies and gentlemen, that's atrocious. 1 million babies were murdered in the womb last year. And that's the first time since 2012 that tally crossed that threshold. 1 million babies murdered in the womb without a chance to live. Babies. Little boys, little girls that were made in the image of God were murdered. Over 1 million. The group has also reported that medication abortions made up 63% of those performed during that time, or there's about 642,700 procedures, which was up from 53% in 2020. This is from the Wall Street Journal. Access to medication abortion has grown with policy changes, including the expansion of telehealth abortion services. The Food and Drug Administration in 2021 relaxed restrictions on a drug called mifepristone. I'm sorry, I butchered that word too. It's one of two drugs used in medication abortion, allowing it to be delivered by mail order pharmacy. This is our FDA, a satanic administration. This is the same FDA who was trying to force people to take the COVID vaccine, which has over a million recorded adverse effects, including hundreds of thousands of deaths, which have happened because of that. This same Food and Drug Administration is this administration of death has allowed people to purchase this medical abortion, these drugs that kill babies in the womb. You know how it kills them? It starves them to death. It prevents the placenta from feeding the baby. So while the court battle is playing out, bricks and mortar pharmacies can seek certification to dispense the pill. CVS and Walgreens said earlier this month that their pharmacies would do so. Ladies and gentlemen, that's why I don't get any prescriptions filled from either CVS or Walgreens. I just don't do it because they want to sell this abortion pill, which will starve a baby to death in the womb. And the baby dies and then is expelled out of the mother's body in a painful procedure. I don't think a lot of women understand that it is very painful to go through that procedure, but they do. And it's horrific what we are doing, ladies and gentlemen. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Mike Hill. I've been sitting in for Dr. Gene A. Youngblood on Let's Face the Issues. Even though what we see going around us, happening around us, is horrific, we as Christians are not to lose hope. These three things remain: faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love. Do not give up. Continue like we see in Nehemiah 4:14. Do not be afraid of them. Stand up and fight for your families, for your sons, for your wives and daughters, for your households. Stand up and fight. Ladies and gentlemen, have a blessed day. This is Mike Hill sitting in for Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.
Been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located 1 mile south of I-295. FCBC invites you to tune in nightly 9 to 10 for expository preaching on 91.3, 91.7, and 91.9 FM.